This just in, the Grizzlies will not concede defeat against the Timberwolves on Wednesday night. Too bad, because they got killed. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was a beauty. It's a good thing that a lot of people weren't watching that thing. Welcome in. I am Peter Edmiston with you again on this somewhat abbreviated postgame edition of Locked On Grizzlies, because it really and truthfully, not a lot to get into after that game. Pretty ugly performance throughout most of it, and then a garbage time. And garbage time in preseason is really a special kind of garbage time. A garbage time fight back, somewhat reminiscent of Golden State a couple years back, but ultimately not enough. Grizzlies lose to the Timberwolves 101-94 at the Target Center in the final preseason game of the year, and a precursor to the two teams meeting in 6 days' time at FedEx Forum to open up the regular season for real. And boy, if Karl Anthony Towns looks anything like he looked last night, then the Grizzlies are going to have their hands absolutely full. So the headlines from this game, other than the score, which really doesn't matter, the fact that Marc Gasol and Deontay Davis played. Deontay Davis, to start with the, I would say, less important thing first, Deontay Davis playing is tremendous. Kid with plantar fasciitis. A lot of us, myself included, really loved the draft pick and loved his possibility. Coming out of Michigan State, thought he slipped for a lot of different reasons, but the Grizzlies picking him up at 31 is nice if he can play. Hadn't played, got out there a little bit, and looked okay, all things considered. Showed right out of the gate what he can do as a potential protector of the rim with shot blocking by smacking Zach LaVine's shot pretty handily. And though he missed a bunny, he was able to do some work on the glass, and I thought showed flashes. You know, it's preseason game, and it's his first time out there, so he was a little bit wide-eyed, but you could see some of the things that make him an intriguing piece potentially down the line. And I don't know when he'll be ready to really contribute in a meaningful way in a regular season game, but you at least saw that he could block some shots, which is more than you could say for most of the Grizzlies that were out there. Now, the other story, to me, the bigger story, Marc Gasol gets out there and plays his customary 20 minutes in preseason action, in spite of the fact that you're talking about a guy who's coming off of irritation, the bone bruise in his foot, some sort of an ankle injury that the Grizzlies have put out there as well. So whatever it is, he's got it. Now, he has said, look, they told me that there was no risk involved, so why not go out there and play? I can think of lots of reasons why, but he said he didn't want there to have been 10, 12 days between games, which would have been the case had he rested. I look at that as a positive, but if he's looking at it as a negative, then that tells you his mindset. Yeah, you want to get your rhythm out there. I just think this is, again, unnecessary. And I get it, and he's fine. It worked out okay. But yeah, you're going to have to monitor his minutes. He didn't look good out there by the standards that we've seen from Mark in this preseason. You know, he looked a little bit of a step slow, 2 of 10 from the field. The shots, he missed one of his threes badly. I mean, way, way, way badly. And he just wasn't himself. Now, part of this was this whole game, really. The Grizzlies were not, this was not a dialed-in Grizzly team, to say the least. I mean, they were very sloppy, you know, unusually for them. They committed 21 turnovers in this ball game, or 22 turnovers, excuse me. You know, when this entire preseason, and I've talked about it and written about it, you know, they haven't really been turnover prone at all. In fact, they've, you know, been better with the ball in this preseason, playing faster in a little bit of an unfamiliar style than they were at any point last year, or a year before that, or the year before that in the regular season, with a much more settled, much slower paced offense. But tonight, all that went out the window. They didn't play particularly well. And I say tonight, I'm recording this late on Wednesday night. They did not play well. They didn't look together. Just didn't look like themselves, like I said. The fact that they took so many threes really kind of bailed them out offensively late. Wayne Selden getting five of them. You know, that put a little gloss on the score, because otherwise this thing was a complete blowout. The Grizzlies outscoring the Timberwolves 37-10 in the very garbagey fourth quarter. But prior to that, at one point being down 90-50, not really a not a great situation. I mean, the Grizzlies scored 6 points in the first 9.5 minutes of the third quarter. Six. So, yeah. On the court, it was a bad night. It was a, I'm not going to say a pointless night, because there were battles still going on out there. You know, especially the final battles for those roster spots. Troy Williams doing his part, 2 for 2 on the night, 10 points. Was out there mostly during the frenetic attempted comeback in the fourth quarter. So he has a good plus-minus. Same thing with Wayne Selden. Hard to say from that kind of a performance, you know, what you're going to be able to take. Are you going to be able to really add those guys to the roster based on that? No, probably not. But it would have to be, you know, take the entire preseason in its totality. And that kind of brings me to a much more pressing thing. Something that was interesting, Ron Tillery, who of course is the beat writer covering the Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal, talked a little bit about some rumors that he had heard on my show this morning on the radio side of things. It said that, you know, he had heard that the Grizzlies potentially were looking to open up two spots down the line. So if that were the case, from a roster standpoint, one of them would obviously have to be from cutting Jordan Adams. The other one, I guess, would be Vince Carter. And, you know, that second spot with Vince Carter, you have a little more time, because Vince's partial guarantee doesn't kick in until right after the turn of the year. So you would be able to hold on to Vince for a couple months and then make that move if you wanted to. And that move, I would think that secondary move would be predicated on like a Mario Chalmers situation, where you decide that you want to sign him, that he's ready to go, and report is that he's got about a month or so left in his rehab before he would feel like he's ready to start contributing. So if the Grizzlies wanted to do that, that would make some sense. I see no reason why they would open up two spots prior to that or for any other reason. The one spot, though, is the one that we've debated, and I would love to hear from you. Now that you have seen everything that you can see in preseason, the Grizzlies have until October 24th, that would be Monday, to figure out whether or not they want to make a move on the roster, whether they want to hang on to these 15 and waive everybody that's a camp invitee, or whether they want to cut Jordan Adams or whoever in order to open up a spot for the likes of Troy Williams. Do you think they should? Let me know. At Peter Edmiston. At Peter Edmiston on Twitter. Maybe I'll throw a poll up or something like that. I also want to remind you, if you would, I would love for you to support my writing. If you like this podcast, I hope you'll check out my writing. The first numbers game of the season is up on the Commercial Appeal's website, and also on the app and all that stuff. You can go to commercialappeal.com. You can get the app in the app store. Check it out. It's a numbers game on Mike Conley. I promised you that yesterday, and I delivered it. It wasn't a great night for Mike on the court, just like it was, you know, a bad night for the rest of the Grizzlies in what was pretty much a throwaway game. It felt like a throwaway game. They didn't really approach it in the same way that they approached a lot of these other preseason games, and I think that was pretty clear going out there. But Mike has been a sensation in preseason. Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the offense and what David Fizdale wants to do. It's really tailor-made for some of Mike Conley's strengths, and it allows him to be freed up. And that was one of the things in talking to Mike that became clear to me, is, you know, he has an energy about him that's a little bit different this year. And, you know, I'm not saying that he's going to turn into an all-NBA point guard or anything like that, but, he's just going to, I think it's just going to be better. The offense is just much more in fitting or much more in keeping with what he can do. I think he feels that. He feels, you know, he didn't want to say that he'd been shackled or anything like that, because I don't think that's the case. But this is definitely now an offense that allows him to get to the rim more easily, that should allow him to have a lot more space when he goes to the rim. This will allow him to use some of the basketball instincts that he's got. He's much more of an instinctive type player, and to play off the ball. All those things really come into play. And if you go to the site and you read the story, I've thrown in some videos that I've put up, some clips that I've cut from the Grizzlies preseason, especially the Rockets game, to show you kind of some of the examples of what I'm talking about. I think it's something you'll enjoy. And I don't know that Mike could ever live up to a $153 million contract. That seems far-fetched. But you know what? He's already showing signs of a guy that looks much more comfortable physically, looks much more comfortable emotionally. I think fatherhood certainly agrees with him. I think married life agrees with him. And I think having his future settled, the financial side of it settled, agrees with him. All of that stuff is really to the benefit of the Grizzlies. And if you can get a Mike Conley that is much more effective and can score in the 20-point per game range, then I think you're going to feel pretty good about that. And I think he can absolutely do that. Getting to the foul line alone, you know, he's doing that at a rate that's twice as large as his norm throughout his career. In the preseason, he's getting to that foul line, and I think that will carry over. The way this team has space now to allow him to attack the basket, I think he'll go in and get fouled, and that's to his benefit scoring wise, and it's to the team's benefit. So check out that article. Let me know what you think. Also, another piece that is up, always a fun one to read every year. We talked about the GM survey earlier this week. One of the other ones that's great is when Sports Illustrated does their NBA scouts previews of all the teams in the league, and that is up on the Crossover, which is their new vertical that they do just for the NBA on SI. Kind of have their own little site, and it's awesome. A lot of their writers, and they've got some terrific writers, as you know, doing some great stuff. Check that out. It's definitely worth looking at. But I wanted to read to you some of the thoughts from the scouts on the Grizzlies, just to give you an idea if you haven't checked it out. Their team is kind of a house of cards right now, says one scout. They have some good players, obviously Gasol, Conley, they signed Parsons, but all three of those guys have significant injury histories that could really blow up in their face. This scout is really a master of the obvious. Right out of the gate, this guy gets it. He gets it. He sees what happened, he sees the obvious things, and he went right after it. God bless him. Now we get down into actually something that's a little more real. If they get something like 9,000 total minutes out of Conley, Parsons, and Gasol, they're in great shape. That means they each played like 37 minutes a game, 80 games each for those guys. I mean, this scout, that is a ridiculous benchmark to throw up there. 37 minutes a game for Conley, Parsons, and Gasol for 80 games each, that is not going to happen. That would not happen. Even if these guys all played 82 games, they would not play 37 minutes a year. Conley played 31.5 minutes a game last year. You know, Gasol, when he's really going crazy, I think his most active month last year was like 34 minutes. So I don't know where the scout is throwing this out there. That is not something that is conceivable. Parsons, the same thing. In 80 games, again, unlikely for all of them. I can't imagine that you're going to see that happening. So that I don't understand. He continues. He says, if they get that, they're in great shape. But they won't. Then I think that part is true. If they get more like 6,000 minutes from those guys, so like 30 minutes a game for 65 games from each of those guys, then they'll be around 500. Health is a huge factor. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. 30 minutes a game for 65 games from each of those guys is probably about right in the minutes assessment. That may even be just a shade on the optimistic side. Health is indeed a huge factor. The scout continues, or if it's a different I don't even know if it's a confluence of scouts or different. I don't know. I've heard nothing but good things about David Fizdale as a person. Players love him. People that work with him love him. But nobody has told me that he's a brilliant coach. Everyone's sold on him as a person, and nobody knows yet whether he can coach. I think that statement, there is absolute truth there. You don't know. Have no idea what he's going to look like in the regular season. I think his in-game management so far has been okay in the preseason. Nothing too alarming. But you don't know anything until you get to the regular season. So we'll find out on Wednesday exactly what kind of a coach he is. They just don't have much quality depth. I think that's potentially true, but we shall see. It will require a lot of help from the rookies. That much we do know. And to that end, the scout says, they drafted Wade Baldwin, but he's probably not ready to play. To expect a ton from Wade Baldwin this year is probably not wise, but he's very talented. He'll be able to help some off the bench, and he'll have some nice moments. The biggest concern I had with Wade in the draft is that he can be sort of hard-headed and difficult. Not the easiest guy to coach, not the easiest guy to get along with, not super mature. That's one big advantage the Grizz have with Fizdale there. Everyone says he's outstanding with relationships with the players. Guys want to go to war for him. A lot of coaches would have difficulty connecting with Wade Baldwin and getting him on board and bought into his role, but Fizdale will probably do a good job with that. That certainly matches a lot of the scouting and a lot of the discussions that I had surrounding Wade Baldwin around draft time. And I will say, in my personal experience so far with Wade Baldwin, I've enjoyed talking to the guy, but he definitely has an aura of cockiness. You could say arrogance. You could say confidence. It depends on how you want to characterize it. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I do think it's there, and it's there in a way that a lot of rookies don't have it. Will that rub some teammates the wrong way? I mean, I guess it could. It's something that David Fizdale, I'm sure, has already known, is keenly aware of. And in a point guard, it may be something that you like. We'll wait and see. What else we're going to wait and see for? Injury news. I'll continue to give you all that I can tomorrow on the pod as we wrap up this week and we start thinking about the regular season. We start thinking about roster moves and all that stuff. Injuries, I will get you as much as I can from an injury perspective and what we can expect to see on opening night. So that is something to look forward to. As always, get in touch. Leave feedback. I appreciate that. Reviews are awesome on iTunes and all those outlets that you get it, because it really does help promote the podcast and get us in more ears, which is a great thing all the way around. So please do those reviews. Let me know what you think. In the meantime, we'll say goodnight on this post-game edition. We'll talk to you tomorrow. You've been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.